all celebrate Christmas. We all celebrate baby Jesus, right? And celebrate his birth. But we have different traditions, right? And that tradition that's been, I've realized that's different, is different. People don't necessarily celebrate by giving gifts to one another. But this is a tradition that Janie and I, we love, right? I think, you know, birthdays are great because, you know, you give a gift to one person's really happy. But for me, I feel like Christmas is special because everyone's happy, right? Everyone's happy. And I have such fond memories as a kid, you know, Christmas morning, you're running downstairs. And for whatever reason, Christmas morning, you just supernaturally wake up really early. It's like 6 in the morning, you're up, right? It's almost like a chore to fall back asleep. And just great memories of waking up and opening gifts. But I found that as I've got a little older and now I'm purchasing gifts, actually a great joy for me is actually buying gifts for, I guess, Janie and people I want to bless, right? And, you know, so I got a gift for Janie this year. And you can ask her what it is later. But I got the gift, and I was so excited to give it to her. I mean, you can even ask her. I said to Janie, I think this is December the 20th. I'm like, do you want to exchange your gifts now? And I think it's just this joy of making, I mean, if you can get a good gift, it's this joy of giving someone a gift that they'll really enjoy, right? And just experiencing that joy and expectation being fulfilled. So, yeah, that's something that we love, and probably, you know, opening gifts, it's technically not part of, I guess, story of Jesus, although I guess the three kings did come in and bring gifts, but it's definitely something that we want to continue to do as a tradition in our family. So that brings us to another tradition that we are coming upon. And that is fasting at SP. So, wow, okay, that was good. I wasn't expecting that. And this is something we do every single year at the beginning of the year at Solomon's Porch, year after year. We start the year with a fast. And just to give you a little bit of SP history lesson. So SP started in February of 2003. But Pastor Sam actually was recruited by the Hong Kong Korean Church to start this English ministry. And so he actually came in November of 2002. So he came, and I think at the time the congregation was maybe a handful of people. Even when Solomon's Porch officially started, the saying is that there were more people on the stage for the worship team than the actual congregation. So there was a handful of people, and off the bat, you know, Pastor Sam builds relationship with this congregation, his leaders, for 2 months, and he's like, all right, it's the start of 2003, we are gonna fast. So him and this new congregation, these new leaders, they start this fast. And right after the fast, that's when they launched Solomon's Porch. So Solomon's Porch was kind of birthed out of fasting. So where did PSAM get this inspiration to fast for SP? It's from Jesus. It's not confirmed, but I believe it's from Jesus. So Jesus at the age of 30, he was baptized. Right, so the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus. The voice of the Father speaks out and says, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." After that, it says that the Spirit led him to fast for 40 days. And at the end of those 40 days, it says that Jesus was hungry, and then Satan came to tempt him. So in Matthew 4, verse 3 to 4, this is what Satan says to Jesus. "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But Jesus answered and said, It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So Jesus is actually quoting scripture. He is quoting Deuteronomy. And he's quoting what Moses said. And the context of Moses speaking this is he has just led the Israelites from Egypt, and they're just wandering around, and the Israelites are hungry. They're hungry. So they're complaining to Moses. They're complaining to God. So God, despite the complaints, comes through for his people. He brings quail. He brings water supernaturally gushing from a rock. And one of the things he brings is manna. So manna is not a food you can purchase at your grocery store, right? So you have to ask, it's a supernatural food. Only God, this is something only God created that does not exist. So you have to ask yourself, why did God bring manna, right? Why didn't he let a pita bread? Or why didn't he let Wonder Bread? Or why didn't he let popcorn fall? You know, some sort of carbohydrate to complement the meat and water, right? But instead, he brings manna, right? This supernatural substance. And the reason he did that was because he wanted the people to know that it's not the food, it's not the quail, it's not the water, it's not those things that are sustaining you. It is me, it is God. So that's why Moses responds, you know, man shall not live on bread alone. It's not just the provisions, but it's every word that proceeds out of the God. It's God who will sustain me. And that's the same thing that Jesus was saying to Satan. Satan says, hey, you're hungry. Hey, just turn these rocks into bread. And Jesus responds, same thing. He says, Satan, don't you know? I mean, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of God. It is God who will sustain me, not food. So Jesus started his ministry pretty much behind a fast, right? And SP was also started behind this fast. So today, I'm sharing about fasting. And the title of my sermon today is called Fasting FAQ. Kind of a non-typical sermon title, I know. But FAQ is frequently asked questions, and if you don't know that. And I will be addressing three frequently asked questions. And the first question I will address is, what is fasting? The second question is, should I fast? And the third, and probably the most important one, is how to fast. So first one, what is fasting? So what is fasting? The simple answer is you're just giving up food for God. That's the simple answer. But if we're to go a little deeper, you can see this description in your bulletin, or if you could put it on the screen, Ronald. So it should be on the right side, I believe, bottom right corner of your bulletin on the 21-day fast slide. And if we're to go a little deeper, what is fasting? It is to give up the legitimate pleasures of the world for the extreme pleasure of knowing God. And I think what you need to really, maybe I should highlight, is the knowing God part. So James Packer, a theologian and also a Canadian, this is what he said about fasting. In Scripture, we see several purposes for fasting. It's part of the discipline of self-control. It's a way of sharing that we depend on God alone and draw all our strength and resources from him. It's a way of focusing totally on him when seeking his guidance and help, and of showing that you really are in earnest in your quest. It's also at times an expression of sorrow and deep repentance, something that a person or community will do in order to acknowledge failure before God and seek his mercy. So notice James Packard doesn't really talk about getting stuff, right? Like, oh, we fast so we can make things happen, so we can get stuff. I mean, pretty much his description sounds very relational and comes to back to that point of fasting is about really just knowing God. So if we turn to John chapter 16, verse 24, if you need a Bible, just please raise your hand and the ushers will hand that out to you. But this verse, most of us should know. If you've done GIC, this is one of the early verses. This is assurance of answered prayer. So if you know it, just please say it with me. Ready? One, two, three. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete. That's pretty good. Good job, congregation. So is this verse about naming it and claiming it? Like basically if we attach in Jesus' name to anything to our request, does that mean it will happen? Like, you know, I want a PS4 in Jesus' name. I want an iPhone 6 in Jesus' name. What else? I want a new car in Jesus' name. I think for many of us, we've perhaps tried this method and said stuff in Jesus' name and come to realize it is not name it and claim it, right? Just because we attach in Jesus' name does not mean we'll get what we want. So what is it about when this verse that says, ask anything in my name and you will receive and your joy will be complete? It's really about aligning yourself to God's will, being intimate with God so that you will know what God wants and doesn't want. And if you do that, then you can really pray effectively and ask for things. I mean, the best example would be even with my wife, right? Who hopefully, I mean, this is a process, lifelong process, of being intimate and knowing what she wants. It's hard. But the best example I could think of is, I mean, for many of you in relationships, it's trying to figure out where to eat, right? And for some reason, you know, I'm really cool with eating anything, so it's really up to her, but she still wants me to decide. So as we're trying to decide, I already know what she wants and doesn't want, right? I already know, like, hey, should we go to McDonald's? It's going to be a no. I don't need to even ask that. So because I know her, I'm going to ask her places that I know she wants to eat, right? So I say, Janie, how about we go for Korean food? She loves Korean food. It's like home food for her. And like we get some tteokbokki. And then maybe 50% of the time she'll say yes. But all to say, because of our intimacy, because of my love for her and wanting to know what she wants, I know what she wants, right? And that's the same for God, right, when we are asking. So it's about intimacy. But the tough part is how do we get there so we can be intimate? How do we align ourselves with God's will so that we can know how to pray effectively? And that is through fasting. Fasting is the means there. So all through the scriptures, men and women fasted. Moses fasted, David fasted, Daniel, Elijah, Hannah, Anna, Jesus, they all fasted. And in the Bible, there are three types of fast. The first fast would be the normal fast. And the definition is abstaining from all food, solid or liquid, but not from water. So this is likely the fast that Jesus did right before he started his ministry. And in Luke 4:2, it says he ate nothing, not he drank nothing. And it says before he was tempted by Satan that he was hungry, but it doesn't mention that he was thirsty. So that's the normal fast, but at SP we call that the water fast. The next fast is the absolute fast. And this definition is it's abstaining from drinking as well as eating. So this was done various times in the Bible. Ezra fasted and mourned over Israel's unfaithfulness. Esther fasted to end a threat to Israel. Saul fasted for 3 days, doing this absolute fast. Moses did this twice. And Elijah ate kind of like, I guess this would be kind of like manna, but he ate this supernatural cake that was delivered to him by an angel. And he did this absolute fast for 40 days while climbing Mount Horeb through a burning desert. So this fast is completely supernatural. We know if you don't eat or drink, you'll die in probably 2-3 days, right? So this fast is for very exceptional situations. And then the third fast that is in the Bible is called the partial fast. And the definition is, it is a restriction of diet rather than complete abstinence. So we see this fast, and probably this fast is quite well known. It's called the Daniel fast. And this is where Daniel and his friends, they choose to have vegetables and water and bread. That's it. And abstain from the king's choice foods. So what that means is no meat, delicacies, or wine. So that's the partial fast. But at SP, we kind of do, or we define the fast a little differently. So we do the water fast, which is, as I shared earlier, it's the normal fast. All you take is water. So if you're going to do the water fast, because it is pretty hardcore and something that you should only do led by the Spirit, if you decide to do it, please talk to one of the pastors. And also, if you decide to do the absolute fast, you know, make sure you talk to the pastors as well. But going from the water fast, we have the liquid fast. And this is, I think, the most common fast we do at SP. And even within liquid, you can break it down into three types of liquid, right? So the first liquid is very clear liquids, right? So this would be kind of like juices, but very like just the, what's it called? Just the juice, no pulp, okay? And the second, and it would go alongside with broths, like very clear broths. So everything you're having is basically water with a little flavor. And so that would be class one of liquid fast. Class two of liquid fast would be your juice with some pulp. And it would also go along with kind of some thicker types of liquids like soy milk, Vitasoy, chocolate milk, kind of these thicker types of liquids. And then on the third class of liquids, this is basically fully anything that you would drink. So this would be like smoothies, you know, basically anything you chuck in, you blend it into a liquid, and then that's what you drink. And then as for soups, you would that would include any types of soups, including like, you know, soup chunks. And this is where you're like, I don't want to be legalistic about that. So, you know, what's a little chunk here and there? You know, that's not the heart of the fast. So those are the three types of liquid fasts. And then, of course, there's the Daniel fast, right? This is the partial fast. And this would be basically vegetables, water, bread. And these vegetables would be raw vegetables. I guess for us, when we say to fast these choice foods, what we're saying is we're trying to fast something that's not supposed to be super delicious and satisfying, right? And these days, we do have those options with veggies, right? So, you know, we're not, technically, you're not supposed to have, you know, that delicious winter vegetable dish that is very seasonal called dao mio, right? And it's crystal jade. They stir fry it with salt and garlic. And whether you're fasting or not, when you eat it, you're like, oh, this is so good, right? So the point of the Daniel fast is to kind of abstain from those delicious or foods that will really satisfy you. So generally, when you do the Daniel fast, you're not getting like croissants for bread. You're just getting like plain loaf of bread. And for vegetables, it'd be just plain uncooked raw vegetables, carrots, celeries, things like that. And there's also the fast where you would just fast a meal, where you would give up a meal not eat, and you would spend that time to pray. Or you could give up two meals, so you would only end up eating one meal. But the key is when you give up those meals, you have to pray, right? And the other types of fast that are also effective would be things like media. So that would be like fasting Facebook. Maybe you're really, you know, hardcore b-baller or whatever. And maybe your fast should be just a fast that's sport or media, internet, alcohol, right? So whatever is, the point is these, whatever is of value to you, whatever is important to you, you would lay those things down. So some things like, if it's a sin, then technically it's not really a fast, right? So you wouldn't say, oh, I'm going to fast getting drunk, I'm going to fast, you know, lying, or something like that. So those things you're not supposed to do anyway. So again, the key is you're laying down something that is precious and meaningful to you for a time to devote to God and prayer. So you want to make sure as you decide what to do on this fast, this is led by the Holy Spirit, right? Because same with Jesus, he was led to fast, right? So don't go for the hardest thing. You know, don't go for the water fast because you're like, oh man, that's the most hardcore. So if I do that, that means I'm really hardcore. So that means I'm super spiritual, really test my faith, right? And on the flip side, don't go for the easiest one. Do the fast that Holy Spirit is leading to you to. So with whatever you already have in your mind, submit that to God through prayer, even later during our time with worship, and see what God says, right? Don't just make it about you. So that leads us to our second FAQ question, and that is, should I fast? So fasting often is associated with fanatics, extremists, medieval Christianity, or even cults, right? Like, oh, is that something that cults do? And 10 years ago when I first fasted, you know, I shared with my mom and dad, oh, guess what? I'm doing this fast. And their background was Methodist, which is very conservative. And so I think they were a little concerned because when my mom finally visited SP, she like brought her whole clan of people to come check out SP. She brought all her sisters and they all came in together. And all to say it's all good, right? So my mom actually goes to SP now. So, you know, SP is not a cult or anything. Thank you. And or fasting is often looked as a weapon of passive resistance. So, you know, Gandhi did it. He did a hunger strike. Recently, Occupy Central, one of the student leaders, Joshua Wong, and several other students also did it as a hunger strike, as a means of peaceful and passive resistance. And another perception is that, you know, fasting is harmful, right? It's bad for our health. What will it do it to us? Can we do it with our busy work and life schedule? So let's see what the Bible says. So in Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 16, Jesus is teaching us how to and how not to fast. And he says, whenever you fast. He starts the passage with whenever you fast. He doesn't say if you fast. He says whenever you fast. So the implication is this is something that is normative. It's something we should already be doing. It is a spiritual discipline that is equivalent to, say, prayer, to giving, to serving, right? So all these things we wouldn't say, oh, if you pray. We wouldn't say if you serve. It's more when you serve. So Jesus is saying the same thing about fasting, when you fast. In Matthew 9, verse 15, Jesus says, when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. So the context of this is Jesus and his disciples are with John the Baptist and his disciples. And John the Baptist's disciples say to Jesus, hey, Jesus, like, what's going on? Like, you know, we're all fasting. The Pharisees are fasting. Why aren't you fasting? Right? And Jesus responds, when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. That means we are fasting for Jesus, right? So he's saying the disciples have no reason to fast right now because I am with them. But when the bridegroom is taken away, when I leave, then you will fast. And as we know, you know, Jesus died on the cross. He was resurrected. So he's left. So now it is our time to fast for him. So that's what the Bible says. If you're not convinced, then let's bring science into it. So BBC, very respected news organization, and they did a documentary called Eat Fast and Live Longer. So this is the byline. It's about this. The host, his name is Michael Mosley. He's not a Christian, but he decides to look into fasting because, you know, the perception of fasting has kind of changed over the years. And now it's actually kind of a hip thing, right? It's this whole, like, wholeness, you know, like, detoxing. And now fasting is one of these new, like, hip and trendy things that people do, right? So this is the byline for Eat, Fast, and Live Longer. Michael Mosley has set himself a truly ambitious goal. He wants to live longer, stay younger, and lose weight in the bargain. And he wants to make as few changes to his life as possible along the way, kind of like us. He discovers the powerful new science behind the ancient idea of fasting, and he thinks he's found a way of doing it, yet still allow himself to enjoy his food. Michael tests out the science of fasting on himself with life-changing results. So through this, show, this documentary, they do all this testing, right? They do this before testing of before he fasts and after fast. And they do, you know, everything very, I guess, by the book. You know, they're taking blood samples and you know, from that, they draw all this empirical evidence. So what they found with the human body when you fast, it does something very interesting. When we ingest protein, our body, we're just multiplying cells. It's going to work. It's go, 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 go. But when we stop, right, and we deprive our body of food, our body does something very interesting. It slows down. It stops multiplying cells, and it actually starts to repair itself. And it repairs itself very to the DNA level. So it actually repairs your body. And for many of us who fasted and we don't know the science, we've probably experienced the results, right? Which is suddenly our complexion, we have the best skin, no moisturizer, toner needed, but it's like silky smooth. It's perfect. You don't have to do anything. You know, suddenly our mind is so sharp. It's so alert. And even the amount of sleep we need is very little. You know, usually we wake up, we're so groggy. But during the fast, we wake up and our minds are sharp, right? It's like we're so alert. Our mind is just, it's on. So the fast does something. But perhaps the biggest find in the study is there's this growth hormone in our bodies known as IGF-1, which stands for insulin-like growth factor. And when we have high levels of IGF-1, which is a protein that is produced in our liver, it is associated and causes all these problems, right? So it's believed to significantly increase the risk of like breast cancer, prostate cancer, colorectal cancer. But they found that low levels of IGF-1 will significantly reduce those risks. And when we fast, our IGF-1 levels go down. So fasting, in conclusion, based on science, it will cause you to live longer. So if you don't, you can check out this documentary. You just got to Google it. Google Eat Fast and Live Longer, and you can watch it on BBC, and there's various links in Google which will allow you to see it, and it'll go a lot deeper with what I explained. So the Bible is quite clear, I would say, in telling you to fast. Even science has shown that fasting is good for you. So if you're still not convinced with fasting, Let Jesus be the reason that you fast. Jesus, the Son of God, fasted. And he fasted to prepare himself for his ministry of what's to come, right? The sacrifice, the persecutions, the miracles he was about to partake, right? He needed to prepare himself for this fast. So if Jesus has this need to fast, how much more do we need to fast as well? So that brings us to the third FAQ, and that's how to fast. So God is not only concerned in what we do, but how we do it. He is looking at the motive. He is looking at our heart, right? We see this with all spiritual disciplines. In prophecy, it says if you're not doing it with the right heart, then it's just like noisy clanging bells. Not bells, but clanging gongs. Yes. So God is really looking at the heart of the matter. Something we always say, and Sandro mentioned it too, is that fasting without prayer is dieting. So I encourage everybody, this is my shout out to EMP, but come to EMP, right? Maybe that can be a fast. It's you're fasting your sleep. So rather than sleeping to your normal, get to work by 9, fast your mornings and come to the morning prayer at 7 a.m. And because the key to the fast really is spending time with God. So come to EMP. It's a great way to start your day, start your mind, put your mind in the right place. Pastor Sam will share and go through the Bible, Bible study. Or come to lunchtime prayer. And lunchtime prayer is a very open and free time where you can just come and spend time with God. But if you really can't, because I understand for many people's jobs, for your school, you just can't step out at lunch and come, right? Or you just have to start the day very early. Make sure you take the time to pray. Okay? So don't just work through that mealtime. Make sure you take the time, set aside the time, and spend time with God. Do your devotional and pray. So if you would turn with me to Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 16 to 18. This is where Jesus teaches us how to and not to pray. Fast. I'll give you guys a second. So Matthew 6, starting at verse 16. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So what's going on? So, these people at church, like us, right, elders, congregation members, they are fasting. However, they are showing up very haggard. I guess the better way would be, they're looking really ghetto. They got bedhead, greasy hair, eye boogers, and they're showing up. But they're doing it with intention so that people will notice. So that people will notice that they are fasting. And that's why they are called hypocrites. Because fasting is a spiritual discipline, not so that we look spiritual. It is not so we are hardcore to say, hey, we're fasting. We're up here in terms of spiritual levels, right? No, it is actually done in weakness, right? The reason you're fasting is from a desperate need for God, where you're like, I can't do it without you, Lord. So I'm going to fast to find you. But the key from this verse is not so much what these people do, it's what's going in the heart, right? Because if you don't catch the heart message, you might misunderstand what's going on. Because in some ways, it would really go against what we're doing here at SP, right? Because in this verse, it says, do it in secret. We're about to partake in a 21-day fast together. We're going to meet in the morning together. So it's no secret who is and is not fasting, right? So what's going on with that? So on the another example would be somebody, you know, is joining our 21-day fast, and they're the only person who's doing it in secret. So they show up to EMP, and then they're kind of assessing the congregation who's doing it corporately, and they're like, oh wow, everyone's doing the fast the wrong way. It says we're supposed to do it in secret. I'm the only one who's doing it the right way. See, it's still a heart matter. This person isn't doing it. He's basically doing it for himself so that he feels special. So one more example of this heart matter, I guess, would be, for many of us, I think would relate, especially with family members who aren't Christian, who have colleagues who are not Christian. We have bosses and CEOs and influential people who are Christian, who are not Christian. And I think we want to do it in secret, right? Not in secret so we would hide it from man, but we want to do it in secret so that they don't know, so that they won't judge us and assess us like, I think we're weirdos, basically. We're worried about what people will think, right? So even that, we're doing it in secret, but again, what is the motive? What is the heart behind it, right? So there's a grave warning at the end of it, or in the middle, at the end of verse 16, and it says, truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. So God is saying, hey, if you make it about what man thinks, you want people to be impressed, that's all you're going to get. People are going to be impressed. If you want to make it in secret and make yourself feel good, that's all you're going to get. You're gonna feel good about yourself. If you make it about not having your colleagues know because out of shame, then that's all you're going to get. They're just going to not know about it, right? So we got to make sure we do it for the right reason. And one kind of fickle matter with the heart for a reason I want to bring up is losing weight. If you've done the fast, you know you will lose weight. It is science. You know, you don't eat, you don't consume calories, you consume less calories than you burn, and you will lose weight. It happens every year, and I think for many of us where we've gone to an age where there are a few pounds we wouldn't mind losing. But, it's kind of become a thing where it's almost something really fun, right? You step on the scale, and you see how much, you see your progress. You're like, oh, that's awesome. It's been 1 week, I've lost 10 kilos, hypothetically. Okay, 10 pounds. I'm a pound person, so kilos don't really register. You've lost 10 pounds, and you're like, all right, if in 3 weeks, that's 30 pounds, right? But here's the warning that God makes. If you make it about that, that's all you're going to get, right? If you make it about losing weight, that's all you're going to get, right? So I know it's a natural thing, but I challenge everybody during this fast, don't step on the scale. Don't check what's going on. Don't look in the mirror, right? Like, oh, it's almost flat, right? I mean, of course, look in the mirror to make sure, you know, you're looking fine in the face. You know, no eye boogers, all that. But don't check out this part. because God says, if you make it about anything else, that's what you'll get, right? And all you'll get is you'll lose some weight. At the end of that verse, it says, so when you fast, do not do it to be noticed by men, but by your Father. So that's what we got to focus on. That's what we got to make it about. We got to make it about our Father. So in 2003, I joined the fast. No, I came in 2003 and I joined in the fast in 2004. So this will be my 11th year doing this annual fast. And to me, what fasting is, it's really a setup. That's what fasting is here. That's what it is. Fasting is really a setup. So here's what happens when I fast. When I fast food, I usually fast food and media. And if you know me, I love food. People accuse me of being a foodie, but I just love food. And why I love food, it's so much more than just the food, right? Although I really love it. It's the fellowship. And, you know, our staff we have this WhatsApp chat, and every morning, right after EMP, we spend some quiet time, and then it's like crazy. And it's basically saying, hey, where do you guys want to go for breakfast, right? And then where do you want to go for lunch? And, you know, I love meals. It's not just food. It's fellowship. You know, for dinner time, it gives me a chance to sit down with my wife, Janie, and we eat and talk, right? So it's so much more than food. And then I also fast media. And if you know me, I have a very addictive personality. I could watch media very long. I could watch TV shows, play video games. I just go and go. It's something many of us enjoy. We come home and we just want to veg out and kind of just relax, right? So what happens when you take away those things from me? I'm very dissatisfied. So food, fellowship, television, for many of us, but especially for me, is something that really satisfies me. So it's kind of, I would describe it as, it's kind of like peeling an onion. And as the fast goes, more and more things come out. You get more irritable. You get a little bit more angry. You got impatient. You know, you might feel a little depressed. You might feel lonely because suddenly those things aren't there to satisfy you. But this is the setup, right? This is what happens. So Richard Foster, who is the author of Celebration of Discipline, he wrote this pretty famous book on fasting. This is what he had to say. He said, more than any other single discipline, fasting reveals the things that control us. This is a wonderful benefit to the true disciple who longs to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. We cover up what is inside us with food and other good things. But in fasting, these things surface. If pride controls us, it will be revealed almost immediately. David said, I humbled my soul with fasting. Anger, bitterness, jealousy, strife, fear, if they are within us, they will surface during fasting. At first, we will rationalize that our anger is due to our hunger. Then we know that we are angry because the spirit of anger is within us. We can rejoice in this knowledge because we know that healing is available through the power of Christ. So fasting is a setup. But the key is, with this setup, how will you respond? Just as Richard Foster's quote at the end, he says, there's healing for us, right? It is available, but will you receive this healing? So during my first fast, my first liquid fast ever, I was doing the liquid fast, very, very class 3 liquid fast. And so that's smoothies. And I discovered this really amazing drink at Mix, and it was called the Nutty Professor. It's part peanut butter, part banana, part yogurt, part ice. I've watched them. And I remember there was this, probably mid-fast, about 10 days into it. It was like 9 or 10 p.m. And suddenly, I was so hungry. Like, it was like my stomach went inwards, and my hands were shaking. And if you know me, I'm kind of like, how do you say it? I'm a homebody. I don't like to leave the home. But I was just so hungry. So I left the house. I got dressed. It was winter, so it's freezing. And I walked down from, at that time I lived on Castle Road, which was around Kane Road. And I walked down to the Mix that was at Hollywood Road. So I get to Hollywood Road Mix. And one large Nutty Professor. Large. And they make it. And I can feel my whole body like, in anticipation of this Nutty Professor. So I get this Nutty Professor, and it's like, and open the straw, and I like, and I just remember my whole body is like, oh. But in that same instant, Holy Spirit just zaps me. And loud and clear, you know, it all that Nutty Professor and hunger in my head just like, And Holy Spirit basically said, you were so hungry, you were so desperate for me, you know, you got out of bed in late evening, got dressed, and came all the way, and you got satisfied by Nutty Professor. Things were set up perfectly, right? My soul, my physical, my mind was so desperate for satisfaction. I had the perfect setup, but instead of filling that with God, filled that up with Nutty Professor. So what's even more important, I think, than the setup is how you fulfill or respond to that setup. So I went back home that night. I repented on my hands and knees, and the presence of God just came upon me. And that's what I was looking for all along. So don't get diverted. Don't get distracted. When you're so hungry, more than hunger, when you're just so bored and you don't know what to do, don't fill it, even though you might just do a liquid fast, don't fill it with watching movies, watching TV shows. Fill it with spending time with God. So I'll finish with this last story. It's of, I know it's getting kind of long, but this last story is of a friend, a brother who used to go to SP. He's now moved on to New York, but this is Albert's story in 2005. So Albert, he's not a Christian, right? So all to say, remember I said, fasting is for the weak. It's not for those who are high level. We always say high level. But so Albert decided to fast in 2005 with us, and he was not a Christian, but he was desperate to know if God was real. So he joined us in this, he joined us liquid fast. Even to this day, I'm like, dude, you're crazy. Why are you doing it? It's like, it's crazy. You're not even Christian and you're doing this fast? But he did it. So on the first day of the fast, he had a dream. And he had a dream of a doctor who came into his room and he said to Albert, "I found you." That was it. And then a few days later, during EMP, so come to EMP, you might receive these wonderful revelations. Pastor Sam shared on Luke chapter 5, verse 31 to 32. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So this dream that Albert had, right? The doctor, obviously, is God. And when he said, "I found you," he found Albert, right? Found the sinner. And that's what fasting, this is what our relationship with God is really about. It's what God is looking at is not our spiritual level. He's not looking at our status, right? He's looking at the heart, right? And even for Albert, who wasn't a Christian, he partaked in this fast, and he basically set himself up for God to come and reveal himself to him. And through this fast and, you know, various, throughout the fast after that verse that was shared, God became real to Albert, and Albert gave his life to the Lord during that fast. And to this day, I just caught up with him. He's saying fasting is totally part of my lifestyle now. I always do it, right? So the fast really, as through the example, is for everyone. Whether you're a non-Christian, whether you're just have the head knowledge but no heart knowledge that, you know, I need God but I'm not feeling it here, or even you have the heart knowledge and you want to go deeper, the fasting is for you, right? Yes, it's going to be really hard. You're going to be hungry. You're going to be irritable. You might get persecuted by your friends and family, by colleagues, and you'll probably have to sacrifice. It's really uncanny how during the fast, like, the best meals can come available, and it's not even like you're invited, but it's paid for. It's like free food, the best food. But that's the point, right? It's supposed to be hard. It's a setup. It's a setup where you're, in the end, you're going to have this deep longing for God. So how will you respond when things get tough? Whether you're tempted by others, you're tempted by devil, even just tempted by yourself, how will you respond during the fast? And I hope that you will respond just as Jesus did. "Man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." I want you, God. More than food, more than anything, I want you. And in that need, God will come. So let's pray. So let's just go before the Lord with this fast. And I believe that God, even right now, is speaking to you guys. And I know it can be a wrestle with God. Every year, I'm like, I don't want to fast. It's never something I look forward to. I say to myself, Kenny, don't be legalistic. You don't have to fast liquid. You can just, you know, it's all about prayer. Just pray. No need to fast. But make sure, but you got to submit it to God. What does God want? Not just what you want, but what does God want? So as Hyunsu leads, just go before God with this fast. let's all rise to our feet in response. And if you've decided on your fast, really respond with this song. That this fast, even though it's going to be hard, even though it's going to be difficult, it's going to be uncomfortable, there's more that you want than just that, and you want God in your life. You want to be intimate. You want to know Him. You want to be with Him. So let's respond. Yes, God, you are faithful, Lord, and as 2014 is complete, Lord, we're just so thankful for this incredible year of your faithfulness, and this year really has gone like a snap of the finger, God. And as we approach 2015, Lord, and we start with this fast, God, we want to make it about you, God. We want to seek you and find you. In Jeremiah 29, verse 13, you said, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord." And yes, Lord, through this fast, as we give up things of this world, Lord, and we set ourselves up to be so desperate for you, God, it's not just through suffering that we're going to experience, but as we seek you with all our hearts, we will find you, God. You will come and meet with us, Lord. And that is our yearning, God. That is the very desire of our heart, Lord. Yes, Lord. We just want to bless you, Lord. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, cause his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So if you have any questions about fasting, feel free to...